Whatever the agenda we had this morning, Lord, we just thank you that we can kneel to you. So, Father, empower the word of God. We pray, Father, as people hear and as people see, that they would go from this place, Lord, burning and shining. It says, Lord, that you've sent us like stars into the earth. And so, Lord, may we shine for you, Jesus. We just thank you. Your presence is so precious. Let us not take for granted the presence of Yahweh. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Welcome to this, what we call our kingdom family. It's great to have everyone here this morning. My voice is going to be in and out, so bear with me as I bear with it, as I try and communicate what the Lord is trying to say. We've been on for about 30 months now, we've been in this move of the Lord that we can't really explain. And when people ask how it happened, all we can say is thank you. When people ask me often, oh, how do you do this well? I say, well, first of all, you get on your knees and you praise him. And everything else that happens after that is a bonus. And so we'll just continue to be a community that praises him, welcomes him, and gets really, really excited that he's here with us. And so we praise God. One of the original plans of what we had happening here was the reason we have stuff happening weekly, but the reason we meet here on Sundays fortnightly at the moment is because we want to give people the ability to go and minister in their variety and spice of life on a weekend in Australia. And these gatherings are really about equipping people. Well, there's three things really. Let's adore Jesus together. Let's equip each other in the spirit, and then let's hear what God is doing. Because God is showing off all the time, and it's exciting to hear. So the Lord's been giving us this unraveling revelation of what it means to be a New Testament believer. And so we're going to unpack some more stuff about today. What a surprise. We're going to go to Ephesians 4. I thought someone would at least laugh. Thank you so much for that laugh, Joe. I hope that wasn't scripted, but amen. If you want to turn to Ephesians 4 now, we're going to camp here. I've been camping in Ephesians 4 for a few years now. I love when the Spirit of God comes on people and just lets them sit with Jesus. You know, we caught up with our leadership team Friday night, and we're just praying and speaking. And I love the fact that our elders and our team is just pushing into one thing, and that's Psalm 27 verse 4, that all of us would behold the beauty of the Lord and gaze upon in him in his place. Or in his temple. That's our mandate. Whether we're worshipping, praying, preaching, whatever we're doing, the one thing first and foremost is to sit at Jesus' feet. And in Australia especially, there's a lot of Christianity stuff happening where people go, I want to go and do this for God. And God's like, yeah, that's great, go and do that. And they do good works. But actually what he wants us to do is sit at his feet first and then go and do the activity. And so we want to be a people who continue to sit at his feet and slow down. And we remind ourselves this morning that the quickest way to get somewhere in the kingdom is to stop and to sit at his feet. And Michael made an interesting comment this morning, a little insignificant place. What a prophetic word that is. Amen. I long for this to be a place where nothing happens except for Christ and him adored. And so with all of our teaching, all of our preaching, all of our speaking, all of our praying, all of our communion, all of our relationship comes from the place where we're sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said to Mary, he said, listen, you've chosen the better portion. Who likes cake in here? Oh, okay, just two people. Cool, that's really good. Right? Okay. Now you can go to Coles. You can go to Coles and you can go to that fridge where the cakes are about to go off. Right? And you can get a whole cream like cake for like $3, right? And it's pretty good, right? But then you could go to Swartz Bakery in Wentworth Falls and you could melt as you walk in, okay? There's something better for us than just what's available. Hebrews 6 says this, I want you now, St. Paul the Apostle says, I want you now to move on from the elementary teachings. So move away from laying on of hands, that's elementary. Move on from the judgment of the dead. Move on from these things and go into the deep things of who Jesus is. And so let's do that together today. So Ephesians 4 is our foundation. I'm actually starting a I'm always starting a series, but I'm just continuing on. This could be a few years as well. But we're talking today. I want to start to lay a platform and a map and a foundation for maturity in Christ, or maturation, you becoming mature in Christ. Because the only reason that apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and shepherds are released to the body is so the body of Christ can become mature. And that maturity actually says this: instead of one or two being the people doing the stuff, every single person is a participant and gets to do the stuff. That should make you excited, amen? Yeah, that's right. You know, yesterday I picked up Ivory from a friend's house and I'm driving. I look to my left, there's a car coming out of this road, and I said, that car's going to Bunnings. Oh, what the random is that? What would I say that for? Anyway, I pull into Bunnings just to make sure the word is right, and fair enough, 5 minutes later, this car pulls into Bunnings. And I said to the Lord, what is... He said, just keep going. I don't know. Just keep going. There's wonderful things happening in the Spirit of God. So let's jump in today. What I want to do this morning is I want to communicate to us and our kingdom family about the fact that maturation or maturity is really what we want to go after. If we're just going after gifts, then we're not mature. If we're just going after, like, we need to understand that maturity first and foremost as our foundation will release all things and we'll be able to hold them. A few months ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, and I communicated to our family here, was that it's about what you carry, what makes the difference. And we've all got to be carrying weight. You know, when you walk into somewhere and someone's speaking, you're like, man, that person's carrying weight with their words, right? Well, spiritually, Jesus wants us to carry weight, okay? But if we're not mature, that weight will crush us. But if we are mature, that weight will actually be stable and able to stand with the weight of God. We don't want people that actually are flash in the pan. Who wants a flash in the pan move of God? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm with some company of people, right? Because over the years, there's been many flash in the pan moves of God. And the only reason a revival finishes is because of man, not because of God. God's idea is for the Spirit of God to keep moving all the time. Keep moving and flowing. But man, in his lack of maturation or maturity, has actually, and it could be women as well, has actually flustered the moves of God. But what we want to do is we want to contend daily for each and every one of you. We want to say to the Lord Jesus, all I want today, I want Dan Hurley, that when he goes into the clinic that they own, when he goes in there, when that person comes in, you already give him all the things he needs to know in his mind about what that person needs in their body. And instead of them having to take 24 sessions, he delivers the one session that changes their life completely. All right? So these are the things we're praying for as we go on. So let's move into this today together. So verse 12 says this, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers. Say, I am a holy believer. Amen. To do their own works of ministry. How good is that? Your own works of ministry. Not copycat Christianity, right? And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Whoa, hey bro, how are you? Good to see you. And so what we have the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the shepherding, and the teaching is bringing people up so they can minister in their own way. Hey, how are you? And so that ministry in your own way, what it does, it actually builds you up so you can minister in what you have. We okay? Amen. These grace ministries, verse 13, will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. Oh. Yeah, the Son of God, okay? This is what's happening. So this is building us up. Why do we need all these ministries? Why do we need maturity? Because all of us are going to reflect the Son of God. So when you look at someone, and I'm going to speak about wind today, and I'm going to speak about a few things, but when we look at someone, let's just say you go into Woolworths, quite expensive supermarket, but anyway, you go into Woolworths, right? And you're in the aisle, and instead of just walking past people like nothing's happening, you go into Woolworths with a purpose in your heart, Lord, show me, where are you in here? Who are you pointing to? You know what? It might not be about what comes out of your mouth, It could be that you think Jesus is so good that he could just come through your thoughts. Right? Jesus healed in numerous ways. Do we agree? Yeah? Yeah, we do agree? Okay, let's move. So just because we haven't been there before doesn't mean it's the wrong place. Okay? Theology, in the deepest, most purest form, theology should always be moving deeper into Christ and not stagnating and staying in a belief. Theology was never meant to be something that we, okay, I believe that and I'm going to apply it. Theology, like if you look at the Apostle Paul, all through his life in the epistles, we hear him deepening his revelation of theology. Now, there's tenets of the faith that are true. Jesus died and rose again. We all believe that. He was resurrected. We also believe that he's coming back. Amen? And so they're the tenets of the faith, or there's more than that. But the Lord Jesus wants us to understand, just because we haven't been there before doesn't mean it's the wrong place. Okay? So when you get into the things of the Spirit and you start to think, oh, I don't know where I am, as long as you know that it's in love and it lines up with the Word of God, you're in a good place. As soon as we do things that are out of love, and as soon as we do things that don't line up with the Word of God, then we know that we're in the wrong place. Amen? And so Ephesians 4, the maturation or the maturity that the Lord wants us to have is actually the fact that we can go into unusual things and unusual places and not be swayed and thrown. Okay? Because the word after this says this, these things are done so you won't have to be tossed by every wind of doctrine and teaching, because you'll be stable enough and mature enough to know that's not from God and that is. Amen? We okay? All right, let's move. The gateway is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That is not the summit. Maturity in the Spirit is the climb, and Jesus is always the summit. I want to, and this is, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this a few weeks ago, and I want to unpack something now. Just because we're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you've made it. Okay? And that's a false doctrine that needs to be taken out of the church. So right now in the body of Christ, there's a lot of people that believe that if you're filled with the Spirit, that's it. If you speak in tongues, that's even better, right? Well, the Bible says to us that the infilling of the Spirit is actually the gateway to being born again. Amen? So when you're born again, you get filled with, you get baptized in water and the Spirit, and you're born again, correct? Yes? Okay. And so then, if that's true, that can't be the summit. That can't be everything that Christ has for us. But what we do have in Christ is maturity is the climb. Who believes they're becoming more mature in Christ every day? Please, someone. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Right? And the reason we are becoming more mature is because we're yielding and surrendering to Him. And when you yield and surrender, maturation comes on you, or you become mature. Right? And then we understand that Jesus, or maybe I'll say it better than that, more Jesus is the summit. More Jesus is the summit. Everything we're doing, every single activity, everything that we're talking about has to be looped into the fact that Christ is King and Head. No one in Australia, no denomination, no teaching, no doctrine, no theology is greater than Christ as the Head. He is our Head and we bow down to Him. Everything comes under Him. So the apostolic, if it's apostolic is not under Christ, then it gets weird. If the prophetic doesn't come under the head, Jesus as the Head, then that gets super weird, right? Evangelists are always kicked out, you go and evangelize the next place. That's not what an evangelist is supposed to be. An evangelist under Christ is a person in a kingdom family who actually helps everyone understand how to share the gospel in their own unique way. Because we are all unique in Christ, yet made in His image together. Amen? Okay? And then it goes on and goes forward. Shepherds, pastors probably shouldn't. This is going to be I'm going to get a lot of emails from this one. Not from here. Pastors shouldn't think their role is to stand up and teach. I'll just say it. Because a New Testament pastor in the Bible biblically says this, a person who stands between sheep and wolves. You know the greatest thing about a shepherd I love is that if you go and study shepherds, I've been studying Welsh shepherds, right? And what they do, when the sheep are asleep at night, the shepherd is not asleep. The shepherd goes and cuts the path for the next day to prepare the way for the sheep to go where they're going to go. Oh, that's so good. So a shepherd is not someone who generally just gets up and does the leading. Because what we have in Australia, and I spoke this before, is our obsession with a one-fold church has destroyed the body of Christ almost. We have to get over our obsession of being a one-fold church. And we need to actually embrace the fact that church was supposed to be done linking arms together, not top down, but around. Okay? And we talk about it here as kingdom circles. Everyone's in the circle together. Some have different gifts, and that's okay. I don't get jealous of someone's gift. I thank the Lord for what he's given me. And then I thank the Lord for what he's given them. Amen? And we, so this is a ground zero where comparison is killed. And when entertainment dies, right? Because we are beholding who Jesus Christ actually is. Okay, are we all right? Amen. Maturity enables access to kingdom realities that are not accessible any other way. You say, prove it. Read the Word of God and look at what people were able to attain once they attained maturity in Christ. Timothy was walking with Paul as his spiritual son. And at some stage, we don't hear the why or how, but at some stage, Timothy is then given the authority as the apostolic leader over the biggest church on earth at Ephesus. Jesus' own mother went to his church. You'd have to be pretty on it if Christ's mum's coming and sitting at your services, right? Okay? But Timothy is given that because Timothy's come into a maturation of the faith that he didn't get through. I'm going to say some things today. Theology doesn't make you mature. Sorry. Theology makes you a person who is able to understand, and theology is brilliant and we need it, but it doesn't make you mature by itself. Okay? Neither does age. Sorry. Age doesn't make us mature, right? We're going to unpack these things today, amen? We're going to pack them together. Then it says this, remember that maturity enables you to carry weight and be as stable as ever. So I could go through all the words for maturity, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to focus on a few of them that we need to actually render to our own lives and apply them to our own lives. Because I want you to be a people that carry weight. I want you to be so plump on God, right? That you're just so plump on God that everywhere you go, you're carrying weight. Okay? People need people who are carrying weight. Amen? Okay. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Right. Okay, in order to receive the next stage of what he is drawing you into himself, you need a stability that comes through entering greater awareness and applications of maturity. We need maturity so we can carry all that he's given us. He wants to give you more than you ever hope, dream, or imagine. He says this, I will give you far beyond what you can ever hope, dream, or imagine. Right, that's your father who only gives good gifts. He's never given a bad gift. Judas was a good gift. Yeah, drop the mic and leave, right? Judas, remember, we have to be not critical of what God did. Judas was fulfilling prophetic words. Right? Judas, at the end of his life, what does he do? He goes back and tries to give the silver back. That wasn't his head telling him that. His heart. I'll just leave you with that. You can confuse yourself with that later on. Amen. A lot of things circling. Maturity enables you to a new paradigm of lenses about how to interpret the wind. Okay? You no longer struggle in an enemy against me mentality. The wind against you, right? You actually come into a growing understanding that the wind is good for you, and you thank Yahweh for the blustery blows and the gentle breezes of the Spirit. So instead of saying, oh, the enemy's against me. No, wait a second. This is an opportunity for us to grow in maturity. Every single time it's, you know, in South Australia, I love South Australia. I met my wife in South Australia. I met Jesus in a park in South Australia. Dave's from South Australia. Amen. Right? And so, in the desert in South Australia, these scientists, they were developing a series of ideas around how to cultivate eucalyptus trees. And so they built this huge dome in the desert, and they planted these trees, and after 7 years at 7 meters, so good, right? All these trees would die at 7 meters. They're like, what is going on? The soil is fantastic. The food the trees are getting is really good. The conditions are great, except for one thing. They had no wind. And so there was no resistance. And so at 7 meters, they just topple over and die. Because that's all they could grow to without any resistance against them. And what I want us to do is this. There's things happening in our lives, maybe in our bodies in this room, where we know that we're getting attacked, okay? But I believe that through maturation or maturity, we can start to thank the Lord for those things coming against us because we're obviously being very effective for Christ, okay? And I want to encourage us today, yes, we war, but we war out of peace, joy, and righteousness. We don't war out of anger. We war out of peace, joy, and righteousness, the Holy Spirit says, okay? Because that is the kingdom of God. But what we do is maturation or maturity allows us to start viewing the wind not as the enemy against me, but an opportunity for me to just to be in the wind, just to be with the Lord in that place. Jesus said it like this, way better than I said it. He said, listen, in this life, you're going to have trouble. Yeah. Who doesn't like that, eh? Like, they're like, you know, you're signing off on, I want to follow Jesus. Trouble, oh, no, sorry, I'm off. Trouble. You will have trouble in this life, but don't fret because you'll overcome because of me. What an opportunity in the wind to praise Him. A wind to praise Him, amen? Okay. The new field is not weird or uncomfortable. It is just unusual because you haven't yet experienced all that is held for you within it. And I'm going to give this to everyone after. You can grab it. I'll put it online and you can take it and play with it and praise God for it and everything else that He's doing because He's released it. But maturity allows you to see things in a different light. Maturity starts to say to you, you know what? Instead of getting upset and all those things, what I can do now is I can praise Him. Because guess what? Your Father cares for you so much. You know what He does? He cares for you after the 1,000th chance. And I've come here today with a couple of things, and one of them is this. God is never upset with you. He can only see you now through Christ, through the cross. So anyone in here this morning who feels like God's angry at them needs to get that and kick it as far as you can away from you, but that's not of the Father. The Father can only see you through the lens of Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid it all. We just sang it. He paid everything for us. And so the Father can only see you through Christ. So when He looks at you, regardless of your dysfunction or your immaturity, He's looking at you as He sees Jesus. Just receive that in this moment. Just receive that in this moment. So a couple of questions I'm going to pose. I'm going to find them. Oh, where my questions go? Oh, that's good. Amen. Where am I going? No, that's too heavy, that one. We'll just go here. Amen. So I want to talk to you quickly about maturity and what it actually means. There's some things happening in reality in Christian church at the moment where a lot of people are presence-focused or a lot of people are gift-focused or a lot of people are whatever the buzzword is. Let's take all of them and put them aside and let's just have Christ. You know, Jesus plus nothing is everything. I'm not very good at maths, but that's one maths thing I know. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It really does. And what I've been asking for all of you is that the Holy Spirit would rid us all of everything that is a plus, Jesus. And all that will be left is Christ. Whoever prayed that prayer, whatever it takes, Lord. Anyone prayed that prayer? You do whatever you want with my life, God. All right? And then 2 days later, you're whinging. I didn't mean to take that off me. Remember that your prayers are powerful declarations. They are powerful declarations. Don't ever believe that you are insignificant because your voice is small. In the Song of Songs, he says this, your face is so beautiful and your voice is lovely. Oh, that's really good. So, maturation, what is not maturity? Okay, we're going to look at that as well today. A few things happening in terms of that. So, maturity, think about it like this. If Ephesians 4 says that we are fully furnished, remember, it says that we are fully furnished, that you are a fully furnished home. Who lives in an, who thinks it'd be good to live in an empty house? Dom. I'm not talking about someone who's had an issue with hoarding, right? I'm talking about it's not good to live in an empty house. Because when a house is fully furnished, it has the capacity to become what? A home. Amen, Kim. And in John 14, it says this. Jesus says, if you follow my commandments, and if you believe in the Father and me, we will come and make a home within you. All right? And so we know that Ephesians 4 says to us to be fully furnished, but then it goes on and says we need to actually be mature. But I want to read the outstanding thing that maturity comes at. And it says this in verse 14. This is why maturity comes on you. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, listen to this, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Have you ever thought about this? That your destiny is not your destiny? There was a movement for the last 20 years about personal destiny. Oh, your personal destiny is this. No, no, let's just wipe the floor a bit. The personal destiny of every single person in here is to sit at Jesus' feet. If he gives you activity after that, praise God. If you're called to be this or that, bless the heart of God for you. But our first ministry is to sit at his feet, right? But that means this. I need to actually, in my life, I need to cause my brother and sister to sit with me at his feet. And I need to cause my brother and sister on this side to sit with me at his feet. Because by doing that, we come into a maturity of the faith. Amen? There's nothing in Ephesians 4 that says that someone's going to go ahead of someone and pull them in. It actually says this. Together, we will become mature as a body, and then we will be strengthened and built up in love. Isn't it beautiful that he uses the actual picture of building a house in love? In love. Not in power, although that will be a byproduct of that. Not in authority, that will be, again, something that will come. Not in anything else, but in love. That we build ourselves up in maturity so we can come into love, a new expression of love, a fresh expression of love. Yep? Are we okay with that? Amen. All right. So, maturity in the kingdom, and I'm going to say these things quickly. Can someone answer a question for me, please? How many seasons are there right now in heaven?
One.
What does it look like in heaven? Paradise. Paradiso is the word. Beautiful. Yep. What else have we got?
Peaceful.
Oh, amen. There's peace that surpasses all knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Yes. What else is there? What's that?
Perfection.
Joy. Laughter. There's heaps of laughter. Amen. Healing. Yes. Everyone's healed. Worship. What's that? Father. Yes. Okay. So all these things are happening in heaven. Music. Amen. All these things are happening in heaven, but it's only got one season in heaven. Yes. Who's ready? Who's excited to stop living in their spiritual walk season to season? Come on. There's books written about, oh, brother, when you go through the winter of life. Wait a second. Jesus said, pray for my kingdom to come to earth. That word there is actually heaven's kingdom realm on earth. So you know what you get to do? You get to actually release the one season into the four seasons. And you start to actually be a broker of what's happening there, here. That's so good. Not because I said it, but because Jesus, is that's what his word says. That's the truth. You are a broker. Maturity does this to you. You stop living by four seasons. And you start, you know what? And I'm saying this metaphorically, by the way, and spiritually. You stop living from this, oh, Ecclesiastes, there's a time for this. Ecclesiastes has finished because Christ fulfilled it. There's a time. I hear all these times those prophetic words, the Lord is judging Australia. God is happy with Australia and loves it. What he's looking for is sons and daughters
to believe that heaven can come to earth. Some of you have said, oh, the Lord is judging New South Wales. No, God loves New South Wales because Christ died for New South Wales and everyone in it. We need to tweak and change what we think. We are brokers of one place to another place. Amen? You can actually go to someone and say, oh, brother, I'm feeling like I'm going through a real... No, wait a second. Let's pray and let's stand with you. Let's surround you, the Bible says, surround you with faith. And as you're surrounded with faith, things start to break out. Okay? They start to break out. All right, are we okay? Amen. Let's move a quick to some soil. Who likes soil? Yeah, who likes soil? Amen. So good, right? Soil. A pure soil, but Jesus said. The person who, the seed that fell on pure soil grew up. There was no hindrances. They just grew up strong in the Lord. One of the things that maturity does, it actually alleviates all the things out of the soil that aren't good for you. Metaphorically, when you are starting to become mature, you realize, I don't need that anymore in my life. I don't need that anymore in my life. Because maturity takes you deeper and deeper and deeper into Christ. And as that happens, all these things that aren't of Him, they just go away. They just go away. Instead of being a... You know, for years, the church was focused on the devil. Oh, I went to preach once, right? And I walked into the building. The first thing the pastor said to me, Jezebel's coming to get you. I said, what? Oh, g'day, I'm Adam. Pleased to meet you. But what had happened, they had become so fascinated with the enemy that they'd become so immature in Christ that they didn't realize there was a whole other realm that was open to them. And so in humility, I just had to say to them, listen, let's not, like, we war in the heavenly realms, not against flesh and blood. And there's principalities and powers, but they are under Christ's feet. And I remember last time I checked, you were seated next to Christ in heavenly places. So they're under your feet. So you can enforce His victory onto your things that come against you. Yeah? Amen? Okay. And so instead of having this whole focus on the enemy, maturity takes you into a place where you start to believe what the Word actually says. And you go, oh, that's just you. Oh, that's just the enemy. Just flick it off. No longer for months. Oh. No, you know what? The yoke of Christ is, and His burden is, amen. Come on. That's what we have in Christ, amen. Maturity takes us into the place where you don't have to struggle anymore with the things that were before. Who can think of a sin they were in before they were born again, right? And it has no power over you anymore. How good is that? And guess what? You did nothing to get rid of that thing. It's all Jesus. You know, you ever say something, I'll say, oh, I'm going to share you my testimony. Well, it's not your testimony. It's His testimony through you. Amen? We've got a whole culture in church we're going to break, right? Oh, I'm going to get my testimony. It's a 6 out of 10. Mine's a 5. It's His testimony, which is always full. Amen? The best way to evangelize is to release the Word of God over someone. Just to release the testimony. You go, are you supermarkets because they're the best places to evangelize? You're walking through there. A lady says to you, just imagine this, right? You're in the supermarket with a trolley full of shopping. You've got 4 kids with you. That's an amen, right? You have 4 kids in a trolley. You're doing well. And a lady says to you, goes, tattoos and kids. I said, what? I said, excuse me? She goes, I look at you, full of tattoos and so many kids. And I said, oh, bless you. I said, do you want to, let's have a conversation. Let's just talk. And she's like, ah. Right, this, right? There's always opportunities for Jesus to break in. You know what maturity does? It takes you away from being offended. Jesus said it way better. He said, listen, the devil has nothing in me. So when someone come at him, he's like, what? My Father is my Father. My Father is my Father. So that's what maturity does. It actually takes us into a place where we actually get to be a person who becomes more and more and more and more and more unoffendable. Who wants that? Oh, please, I want it. I've got six hands up at once. Amen. All right, let's move. Okay, so spiritual maturity causes the weather of heaven's kingdom realm to be enacted where you are. Spiritual immaturity means we still live swayed and concerned by the weather of the earthly realm's realities. This is a metaphorical picture, obviously. And I'm going to give you an example of fruit and harvest. Okay? If I plant one tree, and there's probably horticulturists in here, so I'm going to try and get this right. If I plant one fruit tree in my house, it's not going to pollinate well if it's an original tree. It might, yes, there are things that are grafted now and you can get fruit from one plant, but usually it takes more than one tree of fruit to pollinate with another tree of fruit to actually make fruit. It's all about fruit, right? Okay? So if immaturity, what it tells us is this, and the enemy does this, he goes, listen, you need to stay by yourself. You need to listen, don't let anyone in. But maturity looks like a full orchard. Not a single tree. Maturity looks like an orchard because guess what? When you mature, you actually champion other people on rather than become jealous of what they have. Because none of us in here have ever been jealous. Never, a lot. We are Jesus' third cousins and we are awesome, right? Okay? But maturity allows you to, you know what? That person is doing weight like that. Look at that call on their life. Whoa, that is amazing. Instead of going, what could I say to that person? You know what I mean? Like we start to get in this place in Christ where we start to champion people on. We start to push people past where we think we're going to be pushed. Amen? Maturity allows us to do that. It helps us understand that. This is Colossians 1 we're going to speak about at the end. But I want to speak about something quickly about on the prophetic and maturity. And so the prophetic is an awesome, incredible, amazing mystery to God and to us. It's an incredible thing that, or it's a mystery to us, not God. But it's an awesome thing to actually release with people, but we've got to grow in maturity with the prophetic. And sometimes what we do is we become really prophetic without becoming very mature. Okay? And what I mean by that is that the Lord, He wants us to be so seasoned, not prophetically, He wants us to become seasoned maturely. Let's you know when you put salt on meat, tastes better, eh? Yeah? Yeah, who's going to say yes to that, amen, right? So seasoning, not the seasons I spoke about before, but the seasons of when you season something, it tastes better. If I took, I've never done this before, but apparently if you put a beef brisket in a oven for 1 hour, you can still eat it, right? But if you put it in for 24 hours, apparently it's amazing, right? Apparently you can just take it out and it just rip, like just falls off the bone, right? The prophetic is like that. We can release things immaturely or we can savor them and we can let them cook for a while and then we can release them. And then they'll carry more weight, okay? Maturation of the prophetic is just like that. We need to actually hold these things, become seasoned by God, and then release them where He wants us to release them. Is there prophetic words happening? Yes, all the time. But I want to say this to you. When you become mature, or more mature in Christ, I should say, because we're all mature in some way or not, but as we become more mature, you start to realize the prophetic words that have been spoken over you might not be for you. They might be for your grandson's grandson to inherit. And you are called to be a steward of those words. Because what we've been taught, especially in the Western church in the last 10 years or even 20 years, is that the prophetic, I'm going to go from place to place, get a prophetic word. I'm going to put them on my mantle at home. How many words have you got? I've got 32. It's charismatic bananaism. I'll say that again. Charismatic bananaism. It's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Okay? Because what happens if you got a prophetic word, but your only task was to steward that for your son or daughter to pick up? And then they were to pick it up and they were to steward it. And if you look in the Bible is full of generational legacy. All through the generations, we see prophetic things happening. Look at David. King David prophesies the Messiah. Whoa, how? Did he see that? No, he didn't see it, right? He didn't see that. from the earthly realm, he didn't see it. Okay? Think about Abraham gets a promise from God. Abram inherits the land of Ham and then becomes Abraham, right? And then he gets this promise from God that his descendants are going to be more numerous. Did he see that happen? No. You are actually partakers in Abraham's promise. How good is that? A prophetic word that was spoken from Yahweh to Abraham, you are now enacting as you believe in Christ. Wow. When Jesus prophesies to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, I want you to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. He was prophesying. The furthest any of those got was India. Thomas got to India, right? That we know of. They might have been translated in the spirit other places. But think about our nation. And we are actually an inheritance of that prophetic promise that the ends of the earth will know his name. Other than our cousins in New Zealand, we talk about them today? Yeah. The All Blacks? No. Like, this is the ends of the earth, right? Right now, maturity is breaking out all across the body of Christ. Do you know where the fastest growing churches in the world? No. Iran. Guess who it's being led by? Women. Women are leading the greatest movement of the church that's ever been seen. There's mosques in Iran that are fully empty because Christ is breaking in. Right? And you know, I've been reading accounts from this and listening to stories, and these women, like, they didn't go to Bible college. They were working in the night for men, because there's children here. And then in the night when they went to sleep, a dream came and a man with white hair and eyes of fire comes and says, "My name is Yeshua HaMashiach. I love the Jewish people. Will you follow me?" And so you now have, inside of that nation right now, you have the greatest church movement that's happened in our own history as living people, that is actually churning the hearts of the Iranians to the Jewish people. If there's one nation on earth that doesn't like the Jewish people, it's the Iranians, right? One man said this, that Ayatollah, who is the lead Islamic, because it's called the Islamic Republic of Iran, that he said he is the greatest evangelist for Jesus because he's telling everyone what's wrong. He's telling everyone not, like, the example is this, that guy is preaching death and hate and we're just getting filled with love. And so God's coming. So pray for Iran. Pray for that nation. And you know what? It's never on the news. All we hear is bomb Iran, bomb Iran, bomb Iran. Right? But underneath that swirling is a church being apostolically run by women who are seeing people come in every day in droves. They've actually, there's a story about 2 o'clock this morning, I just get excited about today, couldn't go to sleep. And so I was just researching and they're saying that there's towns where people who haven't even got saved yet are preaching the gospel openly. They haven't even said, "I want Jesus as my Savior." They're just preaching the gospel. It's like Tash prayed about wildfire. Come on. If every Christian in the Blue Mountains shared their faith with four people, we could see the whole mountain saved in 2 weeks. 85,000 people in the mountains, I reckon 2 weeks would have it done. Right? And so what maturity does, it actually does this. Maturity says to you, this story that I've given you is so powerful. The disciples, they couldn't be quiet about what they'd seen and heard. Have you read the book of Acts? Maturity led them to be people who could not contain the goodness of who he was. You're at the gym. You're at the takeaway shop. How's your day? Oh, it's so good. Why is it so good? Oh, have you met the man with eyes of fire? No. Would you like to? Yes. Come, let's pray. Like, evangelism happens, but what we need to do is we need to actually ask the Lord to rid us of the fear of man. Just rid us of the fear of man, amen? Okay. We're going here. Sorry, we're going here. Sorry, not sorry. Maturity in Christ And we're not rushing in this. We're actually going to actually take some time in this. But I want to communicate just two more things to you guys before we finish up this morning in terms of preaching. Okay, maturity is not a result of an age or a result of an experience. Maturity is not knowing more about the Bible. Maturity is forging things. Oh, I love this part. Maturity is forging the things of this age now, okay, foregoing them. So if you become mature in Christ, you forego the things of this age because you've actually, the Bible says, you are a partaker of the age to come. You are a partaker of the age to come now. Is the fullness of that coming when Christ returns? 1,000%. But we have the ability post the cross, filled with the Spirit, to be partakers of that age and see it come into the earth. That is good. Maturity equips you with everything that you need. Everything that you need. Maturity equips you in Christ with everything that you need. We've been having a bit of a fun time at home. Like, you know how good kids are so prophetic, right? Yeah, you can say amen to that, they are. Because they're always hearing from the Lord. But you've got to have ears to hear and eyes to see, amen? And they're not hearing from the Lord after watching, you know, 7 Disney movies then going, I saw a castle. Like, you're actually teaching kids how to actually sit with God, teaching them how to commune with Jesus, and then allowing them to move with Him. Ephesians 4 says some interesting things in terms of the language and the words that they use. And one of these words that I spoke about at the start is teleisos. That word teleisos actually means, the best way to describe it to you right now is that every single piece of fruit that comes from your life is the most perfect piece of fruit. No deformities, no diseases, no skin, nothing. It just comes out fully imaged how God wanted it to happen. That's maturity. As you grow in maturity, more and more fruit comes out of your life. Amen? We want to be people that are full of fruit. Yes? Full of fruit all the time. Not waiting for someone to come along for the... No. Full of fruit all the time. That Christ would come and that He would fill us with fruit all the time. Because it's not our fruit, it's His. Amen? I'm thinking as well, and I've got some crazy thoughts happening at the moment that I'm just dealing with in my own head. Good crazy thoughts. Thoughts about the Word and how the Word comes and how the Word changes. But one of the things I'm loving about pursuing maturation or maturity is that when you start to discover what maturity in Christ looks like, you also start to understand what it doesn't look like. And so what I want to say to you this morning is, don't try and become mature in 1 week after this today, right? But be encouraged that Christ wants to always mature you. He wants to always bring you up into the fullness of who He is. He wants to always bring you up into who He says you are. He wants to always bring you up into a place where you know who He is and why He reigns and why He rules. Okay? I'm going to read Colossians and I feel the Spirit of God saying a few things to a few people. Colossians 1 says this, "Your faith and love rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up for you in the heavenly realm." Did you hear that? Your faith and love rise. Paul's praying this for believers that were on the earth. They weren't in heaven. Your faith and love rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up for you in the heavenly realm. Wait a second. I thought we had to wait for heaven to get there. That's what we've been taught in church, right? But this plainly says to us, we have access now. But access is not through immaturity. It has to be through maturity. For the revelation of the true gospel is as real today as the day you first heard of our glorious hope, now that you have believed in the truth of the gospel. Remember that maturity is not so we can be big noters of God. Maturity is so we can carry what He's got for us. Amen? Might have to get 2 or 3 seats on a plane. You're just carrying God with you, amen? Just carrying God everywhere, amen? I think Kat's coming back in a sec to do some worship, which is good. We're going to pray for people. Let's continue to slow down and not try to rush through anything. I got through about 1/6 of what I have written down. about maturity. That's not because it's cool. I just felt I wanted to preach for 4 hours. She said, no, you can't do that. But I decree a time coming when we'll be able to sit all day with each other. And when I'm finished, someone else will come and finish it. And when they're finished, someone else will come and finish it. And when they finish, someone else will come and finish it. And we might end up here all day and all night. Maybe not in this place, but amen. And what I want to say to you as we finish about maturity is this, is that it's going to look different to every single person, but embrace that. Embrace this. And I'll go back to this now for us to just to ponder. Just because we haven't been there before doesn't mean it's the wrong place. Amen? Just because we haven't been there before doesn't mean it's the wrong place. I don't know who you are, mate. You young fella? You want to stand up? Isaac, you want to stand up? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray for you, Isaac. Yeah. Holy Spirit, I thank you for Isaac. I thank you that you've called him like a Moses, God. And I see him being given authority, God, in the name of Jesus. And there's a secret place lifestyle where you're going to find yourself, you and Christ, you and the Holy Spirit, and you and Yahweh. And like Moses, you have a ministry of deliverance. And you're going to see people delivered of all different types of things. People are going to come out of different things that they've been addicted to, things they've been things they've been caught in, things they've been trapped in, and you're going to have the words of life to release over these people in the name of Jesus. So I ask Yahweh, Father, to strengthen your hands and to strengthen your mouth, because the words that you're going to speak are going to be life-giving and life-breathing. And like Moses, may you have such an intimate, close relationship with God. May you desire intimacy with Jesus. And Lord, I just decree that this whole ministry is a strength and a witness to a generation, God. And so, Father, we just ask that you'd fill Isaac now with everything he needs. Equip him, Holy Spirit, with all things that he needs for life and godliness. And may the power of your Spirit overtake him in Jesus' name. Bless you, mate. Amen. We're gonna pray for some people. During the week, we wanted to pray for habits to be broken. And so Kath and I were talking and praying, and so we want to pray. If you're struggling with a habit, you're like, ah, I just don't know about this habit, then we want to help you. And our pastoral team will pray, our prayer team will pray. A habit is a way of thinking normally. It's rooted in a way of thinking. And so if you have something in your life, you're like, I just don't want this anymore, then confidentially and carefully we can pray for that now, for that new pathway to be opened up to you. In the name of Christ. So we just thank you. And my friend who I met a few weeks ago, you want to stand up in the blue shirt? You want to stand up? Amen. Yeah. These are our awesome friends, these three from Springer Baps. Let's pray for our brother here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are drawing some men away from the lights of the world into the wilderness. Not a wilderness of scarcity, but a wilderness of abundance. And so, Lord, I pray that as you transform and continue to shape my brother into a shepherd, into a real kingdom pastor, into a real shepherd, God, that you would deliver everything he needs, God, that you would go out into the wilderness with him, and that you would transition him, God, into everything that he is called to be, everything he's been created to be, Lord, that you would lift it in him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just speak, Lord, especially over the mind, we speak clarity. We speak, Lord, that you would whisper into him, his ears, God, the plans and purposes you have for him as he sits at your feet. And so, Father, empower him to be this kingdom shepherd that you have called him to be, someone who protects the sheep from the wolves, and we ask you to release it in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, you would come and that you would speak to him personally. We just pray for dreams. We pray for visions to be released, God, and that you would transform him more and more and more and more every day into the image and likeness of who you've made him to be. And we just thank you for his heart and his mind and his soul and his spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're just going to move this stuff. If you want prayer today, we're going to pray. If you want prayer for physical healing, we want to pray for that. If you have not seen physical healing and you want to pray for that, then please come up and join us praying. That'd be really good. Be blessed. I'm just going to pray for all of us now as we lead into worship. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for making us more mature every day. And Lord, may I say, make us more mature every moment. Make us more mature every moment, Lord. May we look back in a year from now and think, whoa, what have you done with me, Lord? Who was the person then compared to who I am now? And so, Father, we thank you for maturity. We thank you for slowly unpacking this to us. We pray, Lord, we wouldn't try and rush through to the keys and rush through to try and get this and get that, but you would release everything we need in this day and the days to come for maturity in you, Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for this day. We bless this day in your name. We pray as we go into our week that it would be filled with encounters with you, Jesus. It would be full of encounters with you, Jesus. And we just give you all the glory and the praise for today, Lord. Whether it's worship, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's community, whether it's relationship, we give you all the praise and the worship for it in your wonderful name. And we just said amen. Amen.